Today our guest is Mr. Michael Edwards, world famous clarinetist. Mr. Edwards, you're welcome to our website.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mr. Edwards, tell us something about your music and when did you start to showing interest to play clarinet?
Actually, I started at the age of 7, and I actually started because I had asthma, and my doctor thought it would be good for me if I would play a wind instrument. And one thing led to another, and I began to actually enjoy the clarinet more than anything, and I began to excel in it. And I went from teacher to teacher, and at the age of 9, I was playing the Brahms sonatas. At the age of 16, I won a contest and performed the concerto with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and from then on, it was just onwards and upwards.
You have given many solo recitals at some of the world most respected concert halls, many recordings for radio and television networks, and also you have performed with many orchestras. You know, you played chamber music. You know, what can you tell us about that? You know,
actually, that's a very interesting part of my life. I started out as playing in an orchestra. And after about a year and a half, I decided I really wasn't interested in that. I wanted to be a soloist. I wanted to play chamber music. That's really where my heart was. And so my first job after I graduated from music school with my degree was in the Montreal Symphony. And the music director there was Franz Paul Decker, who also at the time was music director of the Rotterdam Philharmonic. And he befriended me, almost like a father, and actually nurtured me. I learned so much from this maestro. I'm eternally grateful to him. And I left the orchestra after about a year and a half and pursued a solo career. And it was just, that was the turning point in my life. I just adored solo work. I played with a lot of very good orchestras. I played as soloist with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, the Chicago Chamber Orchestra, the Vancouver Chamber Orchestra, the Hamilton Philharmonic. And one thing led to another, and there's a real thrill when you step onto the stage of a great concert hall, such as Orchestra Hall in Chicago or Carnegie Hall, or in the great cultural center of Zagreb, the Lisinski Hall, because the hall becomes part of the instrument, and a large hall with good acoustics, with a cultured audience, brings out a culmination in the music that creates an excitement that is indescribable. And the more one does that, the more one loves it. I was very fortunate in my life to be able to go all over the world playing in these concert halls. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I also am fortunate because I, at this time in my life, am recognized enough that I can introduce composers that I think are absolutely great, such as Bruno Bielinski, who is, quite frankly, one of my heroes in life. He wrote a clarinet concerto that I think is the most beautiful clarinet concerto in the entire clarinet literature, with the exception of the Mozart clarinet concerto, and I don't make that statement lightly at all. And so I get to introduce this music, and I have the incredible thrill of watching an audience get excited over hearing this music for the first time.
That was our next question. You know, Bruno Bielinski, I wanted to say just two words. You know, the next question is, I mean, same question, what is that, what you like about him and his music?
I think Bruno Pulinski is one of the great geniuses of our time. I think he ranks easily with Shostakovich and Prokofiev. He ranks, I would think, to me, I like his music for clarinet and for other instruments as well, better than any American composer I can think of. I played virtually every clarinet every major clarinet concerto, everything from Mozart to Weber to Spohr to Nielsen to Aaron Copland, and but the most special concerto to me is a concerto by Bruno Pulinski. It is so complex and yet so sensitive and so mature a work that it ranks with the greatest works for the clarinet. It frustrates me to a great extent that this incredible music is performed so infrequently, but perhaps that's a compliment to the great maestro, because we have to also think historically about these people. We must remember that Mozart died and was buried in a pauper's grave, so nobody knows where he's buried today. Schubert starved to death. Perhaps that's a great mark of a great composer. At any rate, I have really, quite frankly, dedicated enormous amounts of my effort to the promotion of Bruno Pulinski's music, because I think one of the greatest tragedies is that this fabulous music is lost, and lost forever, and I will do everything in my power to see that that does not happen. So when I am asked to play a clarinet concerto, it is one of the first concertos that I request to play, and on virtually every concert, every recital, I should say, that I perform, I play the Pulinski Sonata, and people fall in love with it. You ask me what makes a composer great. It's hard for me to articulate that, because I'm not a great composer. I am not in the league of these people. But what I can tell you is that there is an excitement that one feels listening to this music and listening to it time and time and time again. And that, to me, is the mark of greatness.
Very nice. A couple days ago, you, Mrs. Lyarka Wilinski, and Margaret Kosman-Vuko have performed a concert in Washington. What you can tell us about that? I think you played the solo clarinet sonata from Wilinski.
That's absolutely correct. Actually, that was one of my dream come trues. This is an interesting story. A number of years ago, I made a CD for, I record for Crystal Records, and I made a CD for Crystal. And one of the works I recorded was one of my very favorite works, the Sonata for Clarinet and Piano by Bruno Pulinski. Well, this, to make a long story short, this CD ended up in Croatia in the hands of Lyarka Plesnić Pulinski, the wife of the late great maestro Bruno Pulinski, and we made contact by mail, and one thing led to another, and eventually I received an invitation that I accepted to perform Pulinski's concerto at Lisinski Hall in Zagreb with the Varaždin Chamber Orchestra, maestro Pavel Deshpao conducting. And Mrs. Pulinski and I became extremely close friends immediately, and our friendship just intensified after that. And one of my dreams was to perform this sonata with her. It's sort of frustrating, because she is such a wonderful pianist, yet we live so far apart, And when I had this opportunity to perform this great sonata with such a great pianist, I was just excited beyond words, and of course I leaped at the opportunity. I wouldn't have passed it up for anything in the world, and it was, and Mrs. Bielinski played that sonata just absolutely exquisitely. It was, I would say, by far the best performance of that work I've ever given, and that inspiration really came from the total ensemble of performing with Mrs. Bielinski.
You have been in Croatia, you said that before. What's this, do you like something about Croatia? Do you like being there? You know, what do you like about Croatia, or what you don't like, whatever?
Well, you know, musically, there is something special about playing in Europe. Something very special about playing in Europe. When one plays in North America, one often hears coughing, rustling in chairs. But when one plays in Europe, especially the great cultural centers in Europe, such as Zagreb, one plays, and in the rest, in the audience, there is a deafening silence. There is such an intense appreciation of the music that it makes performing there something very, very special. And I remember after the concert, walking up and down the streets of your beautiful, beautiful city, in the old part of the city, and I heard Edvardsa every place I turned, and people would come up to me and thank me for performing that work. It's just a very lovely city. I look forward to returning to it. I travel all over the world, and one of the wonderful things about this sort of life, although I'm not at home as often as I'd like to be, one of the wonderful things about this kind of life is that I get to meet absolutely wonderful people all over the world. And I've met some very special people in Zagreb, and some of them, such as the Bielinski family, are literally, we consider each other family. And so Zagreb holds a very, very special place in my heart.
Mr. Edwards, do you have anything else to say? Do you have any message for us, for our listeners?
Yes, I do. Bruno Bielinski, the music of Bruno Bielinski, the music of Boris Papandopoulos, these are the crown jewels of a great culture. It saddens me that these works aren't played more often. I believe these works should be flaunted to the world, because these works represent some of the greatest music, some of the greatest arts ever created. I think over time that will happen. It seems as though one characteristic of great musicians, not always but usually, is that they seem to be ahead of their time, and they're not appreciated during their own lives. But history eventually rewards them, because history is the fairest of all judges. But I still believe that this great music should be flaunted to the world. When one thinks of all the music Bruno Bielinski composed, it is mind-boggling. 15 symphonies, at least one concerto for virtually every instrument, sonatas for virtually every instrument, innumerable pieces of chamber music, songs, song cycles, operas, children's music, ballets, the list goes on and on. He was such a prolific composer that it is a shame that this work is not performed continuously. I hope that people hearing this interview will perhaps take an interest, greater interest, and say, who is this Bruno Bielinski? And encourage more performance of these works. And that's pretty much all I have to say on that subject. It's a very sensitive subject to me. As they say, I've dedicated great efforts to promoting Bruno Bielinski's music in North America. And I hope his music is more recognized. I trust it will be.
Mr. Edwards, I thank you for your time, and thank you for being our guest on our website, and I hope we're gonna have you again, you know, in the future, you know, like a guest on our website.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. I hope to be invited again as well. Thank you again very, very much.
Thank you.